This is one of those nearly impossible to plan Sundays in terms of how much time you spend on a sermon or a homily. The only rule of thumb is wondering how short, right? You appreciate that. I would rather, incidentally, share a Sunday morning with education than just about anything else, because we have so many of us, our children and all of us as adults, who need to be at least adequately educated concerning what it means to be a person of faith in the last three quarters of the 21st century. We've almost all of us survived the first quarter of it. 20 years ago, maybe closer to 30, the denomination into which I was ordained, the American Baptist Churches USA, and they still have it, I still have that ordination, discovered that it was losing money faster than it was bringing it in. Our then denominational leaders knew something had to be cut or seriously curtailed. And we had back then four major national boards that operated to provide services to our wider work as a denomination. We had the pension board, we had the board of national ministries, we had the board of foreign missions, and the board of educational ministries. So if you're gonna cut something, okay, let's start with pensions. No, you're not gonna touch my money, uh-uh. Foreign missions, laugh, laugh. How can traditional Baptists stop saving heathen babies in the land of the heathens, right? Plus, evangelical Baptists support missions like college students support bars. Put those two together. It's just natural. That left national ministries and educational ministries. Well, in short, our denominational parents decided cut education and hide it somewhere, the pieces and parts that were going to be left over in national ministries. Julia Bebo, who is not here this morning, but she and I went to seminary together back in the 70s. She and I spent 20, 25 years of our lives dedicated to education with children and youth at statewide and national events. We helped churches learn about the curriculums that taught our children. Julia and I both traveled the country doing education events, joining with others nationwide in forming a religious identity. And in one fell swoop, educational ministries disappeared. And we stopped developing materials. We stopped teaching children and adults alike religious education. And as professionals, we stopped meeting and seeing each other and being challenged by one another, learning from one another. It's been one of the largest organizational failures of our denominational history, because when we stopped doing excellence in religious education, not just the children, but also we adults, we started losing our way more easily. And it became less likely that we were doing a good job at exposing ourselves to others concerning who we are and what we are about as men and women of faith. Because education, it gives us words and structure to talk about things that we find most important and what we want to pass on to the next generations. And as a nation, we are doing similar patterns as lower funding of education and teachers have left us ridiculously ignorant as a culture and more prone to believing he who talks the loudest. I thought about having them raise the volume on that one. Religious fundamentalism, incidentally, is beginning to fail across this country of ours. They're still teaching fundamentalism, but they're still missing something very crucial. The average person today has evolved beyond their parents' religious statements. Fundamentalists are falling away because their churches have simply not stayed up with contemporary knowledge of how the world, how the universe actually functions. And they often hold on and up the Bible, you know, in that rarefied air in which they claim there is no air in it. But you know, the average person just knows better. And therefore, over time, when religious groups claim high authority for the words of the Bible, when folks discover the errors in those pages, they just kind of fall away, because the average person does not like to be lied to. And they wonder, well, I wonder what else a church might be pulling our legs about. I love our Education Sunday because we have children and we are challenging ourselves to give them an even better education than we received. Parents want their kids to be taught truth and knowledge about how we have come to understand truth. Parents tell me they do not want their kids to have to relearn religion like many of us have had to relearn because of faulty, biased teaching in Sunday schools when we were kids. Today's Sunday, Friday, I gave the baccalaureate address at Franklin College. I was invited there in essence because of us. They want our kids from First United in Bloomington to know that they have a college up there and that they have scholarships available and that they really do an excellent job in education. And they also want help from progressive churches in showing their community there in Franklin that there are wider perspectives to be embraced from everything from human sexual expressions to baseline biblical interpretations. On Friday, I gave them a very, very mild sermon. I was a guest, and I knew that I had an audience that probably had little exposure to a lot of progressive preaching. And I used a story that Jesus told about a farmer and who sowed seeds in absolutely, you know, all sorts of places. And after the ceremony, a doctor of the hard sciences came up to me and said, and I quote, "I always hated that story of Jesus." And he said, "It never dawned on me that there might be other ways than how I was taught as a child to look at it," end quote. He said, thank you. We need to grow as a faith community in teaching ourselves and our children with more passion than ever. The fields are white unto harvest. The time to teach is ripe with opportunity because so many desire to know the many options that are available to them. Under the direction of Hopi and our Board of Christian Education, they have done an absolutely marvelous job, but they need more of us to step up and teach. And we need more of us that are willing to step up and learn. Adult education, imagine that, is essential in times such as these that we are living through. Take advantage of some of the groups that we have. And if you have a topic that you want explored at a new time and place, be a responsible adult. Talk to me, talk to Hopi, talk to Derek. Let us learn together and teach so that the reality of how God dreams of our world, how it might become a reality because of the way that we are. Now listen, I know that another 8 students and 2 teachers were killed this last week in Santa Fe, Texas. I'm so depressed about it that I could not even find the energy to lower my flag to half staff if I had one. But if I had one and started lowering it to half staff, I know that it would fall to the ground in exasperation. Guns kill. People without guns cannot kill as easily. Second, in the last things I have to say, President Trump said it, and then of course he said he meant something else. He said that immigrants are animals. So I started looking at some of these words of Jesus. I thought, well, we need to change them according to the new administration and many right-wing religious organizations. Truly, truly, I tell you, these immigrants you see before you are not people. They're animals. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, it's probably fine to take 2 teeth or 3. If the person is an illegal immigrant, because they are not people, they're animals. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Unless they're immigrants, in which case they are not people, they are animals. In everything, do to others as you would have them do unto you. Unless they are poor, in which case you should build a bigger fence to keep them out, because they are animals. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house in the proximity of a really excellent border wall. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. But if the thirsty child is undocumented, then do not give them that cup of water. Instead, take them from their parents, put them in a camp, you know, just in case. Come unto me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Unless you're a person of color and do not have the proper paperwork, in which case, we're going to deport you. Because mostly these are not people, they are animals. That's from many quotations from the Gospel of Matthew-ish. And of course, Jesus didn't say that stuff, right? But a lot of people are, and we should be very angry. And we should be teaching, and we should be out there saying, these are not the words of Jesus. Because Jesus did say, I tell you this, on the day of judgment, you will give an account for every careless word you utter. Now, as a preacher, I'm pretty sensitive to that. But by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. That's actually in the Gospel according to Matthew. May God seek to bless us as we live our lives meaningfully, alive with the Spirit of God, who is depending on us now more than ever. Amen.